In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are continuing with Louisa and the bread, the food of the Most Holy Divine Will. And we are on page 11 at the bottom of the page, volume 25, 4-4-1929. And Louisa begins, "My abandonment in the Holy Volition is like that of a powerful magnet that draws me to itself and to administer to me sip by sip." Okay, now this is the great part. It's little by little. This is so vast that for all eternity we're going to be studying this. And it's little by little. The more that you seek this, the more that you will be given. But it's not all at once. This is to begin to know, love, and possess God. It's a new beginning for all the world. It's to go back to where Adam was before the fall, to live that life of the image and likeness of God. So her abandonment, what she's done is she says that what Louisa loves more than anything is this great gift of the divine will. She loves it more than anything. She's abandoned herself to this and this alone. And that's why Jesus said to Louisa, "Are you willing to give up good things, holy things, saintly things?" And when Louisa says, you know, "Yes, why?" Jesus says, "I want to give you divine things." That's when we were at Holy Mass and the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. The whole reason for Christ coming to earth is to restore us to where Adam was before the fall. So she's abandoned herself to live only in the divine will, to focus only on the divine will. That is the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. For the last 2,000 years, we've been basically focusing on how to do the will of God, and that is through the saints. So you follow the saints' direction. You become a religious. You follow the founder who says, "This is the way I found to get close to Jesus." And you follow their rules. You follow the regulations. And you learn their prayers, and you become holy and good and saintly through prayer, fasting, penance, mortification. But now Jesus says, "I want more from you. I want to give you more." So he says that I'm calling you to the martyrdom of martyrdoms. And when you hear that, you know, and everybody is mostly afraid to have any kind of pain, any kind of suffering. They go, "Thank you, but no thank you. I'm happy where I am." And God goes, "No. The martyrdom of martyrdoms is not to do your human will." And again, what is your human will? It's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And that's where we have fallen. We've fallen from the great heights of living in God's will. That's what Adam had, to doing God's will. And so Jesus is now saying, I want to give you more, but you have to give me more. What do you have to give me? Give me your human will so that I can give you my divine will. We'll exchange. So he says, this abandoning yourself to reading and studying and putting this into practice is like a powerful magnet that draws each and every one of us, as we read every day, especially the calendar, reading every day, draws ourself, each and every one of us, into itself, into the divine will, to administer to me. Okay, here she's describing a divine reality in human terms, sip by sip, drop by drop. It's divine life. It's the divine light. It's divine, prodigious, admirable, and adorable knowledges. So what is God feeding us? He's feeding us the truths of the divine will. How? Through little Louisa. He's dictated to Louisa these truths, these manifestations, these promises to Louisa. Sip by sip, the more that you read, it's you can't read all 36 volumes, in an hour. It's impossible. It's the same thing for here. It's the calendar helps you be fed every day. And again, you know, some days are long, you know. I mean, Christmas was a long day to read. I think it was 2 hours to read that day. And why? Because it was such a magnificent day. And as you enter into this life, you're just filled with wonder and awe of how much our God loves us. You know, you're filled with tears of joy that our Lord would love us so much that he would feed us in this great celebration of Christmas, you know, abundantly, all this food, this knowledge. And then what does he call it? He calls it divine life, divine light. It's prodigious. It's admirable. It's adorable knowledges. See, our God, excuse me, our God wants us to begin to live this abundant life. It's nothing less, it's exactly like, I should say, sitting on the couch and have Jesus speaking to you. He's looking at you and he's talking to you and he's saying, I want you to learn this. This is what Adam was supposed to teach you. And Adam failed. He gave up the divine will for his human will. He wanted his human will in charge, not God's holy divine will. So use your free will to choose, do I want to continue to live this life? And again, the human will, we see very clearly what it is when we make a good confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live this life. I want to enter into the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that you gave to Louisa. I want to avoid this near occasion of sin. And I want to make a firm purpose of amendment not to do this again, not to live this life again. That's what Jesus is saying. Will you go through the martyrdom of martyrdoms, giving up your human misery? To begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. To begin to live a life of heaven. So he's saying to us, I'm going to feed you. You know, you come to me, Jesus says, and I will feed you. Sip by sip. Little by little. It's so magnificent. You know, I know people who, when they're reading the divine will, they say, I've got to stop and reread this again. It was so magnificent. It's so full. That I want to read it again and again and again. A lot of times that's what's great about the calendar is you have to go to the next day. You know, it's like, oh, this is so wonderful. I just want to dive into this infinite ocean of peace, joy, and happiness. I want to participate in this. And God goes, good, this is enough for now. Let's go to the next day. Now, why? A year from now, when you're reading this, you'll understand it 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, day. We're sitting right next to him. He says, I will touch your mind that you'll understand this, and I will touch your heart that you will love it. Read the Book of Heaven. Just read it every day. And the best way I have found is through the calendar. Jesus is teaching you every day. Every day is, it's unbelievable what Jesus teaches us. It's much different than reading the volumes. I know the volumes, that's, we all started by reading volume 1 through volume 36. But when you read the calendar, there's something extraordinary happens. You begin to see things from why Jesus created this day, what I want you to receive on this day. And as all of us read the calendar and reading what Jesus is saying, he's talking to us collectively. You know, it's like the readings of Holy Scripture of every day. All the Catholics throughout the world are reading the same readings every day. God is teaching us every day to go deeper and deeper into the truths that Jesus speaks to us in the Scriptures, especially the Gospels. So here he says, I want you to go into these knowledges, these truths, these promises, these manifestations. And as you enter into it, you begin to see things from a divine perspective, little by little. I mean, it's not You know, I've heard some people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. I'm doing divine acts. Well, that's not true. That's not what Jesus teaches, Louisa. It's Jesus that enters into the acts with you. You abandon yourself to Jesus and you say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. With your prevening act in the morning, beat in my heart beating. You know, when especially at night, when you're doing your act of contrition, and you're praying, you really, again, take the place of every human being and you stand in the breach for them and you say, I'm sorry, Lord, for this life that I've lived. I'm sorry for the sin. I mean, all the sins of the world. You plead before Jesus. I stand and with my voice, Jesus, hear everyone praying with my voice. I love you. I adore you. I praise you. I am sorry for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me, forgive all of us. Why? So that we can return to that life that you originally breathed in Adam, that divine will, the image and likeness of God. This is where you want us to go. And I want everyone. So this is what Jesus says. So through Louisa. So my mind was wandering within the divine will, and my sweet Jesus moving in my interior told me, my daughter, the first of those who shall do my most holy divine will. Those first who shall live in the most holy divine will shall be like the yeast of its kingdom. So here God is telling Louisa, please, you know, you, Louisa, you're the one that this gift has been given to. You're the human born of original sin that this gift was given to. And those that read this study, this put this into practice, they are the first who shall do the will of God. That's the saints, you know, volume 1 through volume 10. And then live in the divine will, that's volume 11 through volume 19. And then shall receive the divine inheritance of the Father, that's volume 20 through volume 36. They will be the ones that shall be the yeast of its kingdom. Now, if you've ever made bread or wine or, you know, you need the yeast. And the yeast brings in the fermentation. The yeast is the thing that increases, you know, with wine to get that. The yeast goes after the sugar in the grapes, and it ferments and it produces the alcohol in the drink. The yeast in the bread. Produces the fermentation, which makes the bread not leaven, but filled with life. Unleavened bread brings it to leavened bread. It fills it with the bubbles in the air, and you get more of what that is there because of the yeast. And so he's saying, those that are reading, those that are studying, those that are putting this into practice, little by little, you who doing the will of God and living in the divine will are the yeast of the kingdom. So why are we alive today? We're alive today to help bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We are the first. Your family doesn't want to read what Louisa, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. Nobody wants to read Louisa. Everybody's pretty satisfied with what they have, whether it's good or holy or saintly. And what Jesus is saying to us is, I want you to enter into this life. Think about it. The yeast changes. It changes everything. The grape juice turns into wine. The unleavened bread turns into leavened bread. This is what's coming. So he says, the many knowledges that I, God, have manifested to you, Louisa, about my most holy divine will shall be like the flour for the bread that, finding the yeast, becomes fermented, as much flour as one puts in. And that's the wonderful thing. Excuse me. The wonderful thing is that God is going to bring about. God is going to bring about a new beginning for all the world. The knowledges on every page, the truths on every page, the promises on every page that I, Jesus, have given to you, Louisa, about my most holy divine will, will be like the flour for the bread. And finding the yeast becomes fermented as much as the flour, as much as flour, as flour is put into it. Sorry. Holy cow. So, therefore, what Jesus is looking for us, at us, he's saying to us, you're not going to believe what I am going to do. Can you imagine the first person who put yeast into the bread? They went, wow, look at this. Look what happened. You don't have flat bread anymore? No, I've got this puffy bread and it's really tasty. And it's the same thing with the yeast in the wine. It's not, you're not having grape juice? No, it's got a real kick to it. Whatever it is, we have no idea what God is going to bring about. It's all secret. It's all hidden. Our God, he loves secrets. He loves to be hidden. You see that in the Holy Eucharist. He imprisons himself in every tabernacle and every Catholic church, and the churches are empty. He gives us his mother as our mother. He says to us what he said to John, take her into your home, take care of her. You know, listen to her. And what is so beautiful is, what does Our Lady say, basically? Pray the rosary, wear the scapular, attend First Saturday Masses. Very, very little. Very little. Yet we don't even do the little. I mean, how many members of your family have you given scapulars to? And they go, no, it itches. I'll put it in my pocket. Yeah, that's a great place to put your shirt. Put your shirt in your pocket. Put your cloak into your pocket. That's good. It's like, well, I'm carrying it. I'm wearing it. No, you're not. It's the clothing of heaven. And again, the little sacrifice that Our Lady asks with that wool around us is to get us ready for the royal garments that Jesus tells Louisa that we're all going to be clothed in. The royal garments of divinity. To go back to our fatherland. To go back to our homeland, which is the kingdom. And a little thing, she says, pray the rosary and wear the scapular. Again, our Lord loves us and he gives us the freedom to choose to what we want. He tells us what to do. He tells us what to do in Holy Church through the dogma and doctrine of our faith. How to think with the mind of Christ. You know, the whole thing on St. Thomas Aquinas is to begin to think with the mind of Christ. That's why the seminarians study it. Not only logical, it's life-giving to think with the mind of Christ. But what does Thomas say? He doesn't even finish the Summa. He says, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. What we have in the Book of Heaven is, I think, what St. Thomas Aquinas saw. What we have in the Book of Heaven is not anything that it's not what's written in the Summa. The Summa helps us to get to know what's coming, and I think God gave Thomas Aquinas a glance of this new era with the Book of Heaven. And he looked at it, and again, not reading it, just it's filled with, as Jesus said, with light and with life, with adorable knowledges. And he says, what I've written is mere straw. See, as the priests, as the bishops, as the deacons begin to read the Book of Heaven, Jesus is teaching them what I think Thomas Aquinas saw in the future. What St. John of the Cross said, he said, something greater is coming. He didn't know what it was, but this is what God is showing us. He's showing us that a new beginning is happening. And he's given it to us. And he says this. He says, but the flour is not enough. It takes yeast and water in order to form the true bread to nourish the human generations. So that first bread is the bread of the divine will. The yeast and the water with the flour is combined, brings the true bread, brings that first bread. So we haven't learned, we've learned from Thomas Aquinas and how many people follow it. We've learned from, you know, the dogma doctrine of our faith, but how many are following it? So Jesus is saying to those who are following the church, wanting to know the truths of the church, I'm going to show you in a powerful way how I, God, am going to do this. This is why St. Louis de Montfort says, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. So he says this. I mean, think about it. The flour is not enough. It takes yeast, it takes water in order to form the true bread to nourish the human generations. You see what God is doing? He's nurturing us to begin to live on this first bread, the bread that Adam lived on, the bread that Jesus ate, the bread that Mary ate. I mean, you can see this when Our Lady teaches Luisa, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. He says, these are not the prayers of the saints. These are my prayers, she says. These are my son's prayers. What are these prayers that Jesus and Mary said? It's so simple. There's hints of it all over sacred scripture. There's hints of it of all the prayers of the saints. It's we look at the canticle of Daniel. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Nights and days, bless the Lord. It's the rounds. We begin to enter into the rounds to become the voice of all of creation, praising God and glorifying God and worshiping God. This is heaven. And as you pray the rounds, I know so many people who are focused on the rounds and they say, I can't stop praying the rounds. I'm almost like lifted from earth to enter into the glory, the joy, the happiness of heaven. The love of heaven. And so our God is asking us, our God is pleading with us, are you willing to enter into this life? So Jesus says, in the same way, the yeast of those few souls who will live in my most holy divine will is necessary to me, God. It's not your family at this point. It's not your friends. It's not your neighbors. It's not your co-workers. It's the ones who are reading, those few who want to live in my most holy divine will, who have abandoned themselves to focus on living in the divine will. He says, these souls are necessary to me. This is why at Holy Mass every day at the consecration, I pray for all the souls who must live in the divine will. That's what Jesus says. I'm waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will. They are the ones that are the yeast. They're the ones that are going to change everything. How? By living that abandonment of to the divine will. That means they've given up their human will in exchange for the divine will. This is the martyrdom of martyrdoms. I do not want to breathe in my human will ever again. I want you, Jesus, to breathe in my breathing. I want to breathe in the divine will. Lord Jesus, I don't want to ever have my heart beating in the human will ever again. I want you, Lord Jesus, to beat in my heart beating. Do you see the difference? Jesus takes us at our word. He gives us our desire. And that's why today, I was listening to a person talking about, do you want to see what the devil wants? Do you want to see what the devil wants for mankind? Watch the trailers of Hollywood. Watch, you know, what was last year. Watch what's coming this year. It's all demonic. Satan wants us to be one with him. Why? Because he loves us? No. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy what God loves. Remember what God said? Jesus said to Louisa, everything in creation is a work of God. Everything is a work of God. The only life of God is a soul, a human, a baby. That's the life of God, where God can fill them with sharing in divinity. He shares with them his divine life through holy baptism and the sacraments and the sacramentals. And where is mankind today? It's the fastest growing religion is Satanism. Do you see why Jesus said to Louisa? He says, I'm going to have to release all the demons. And Louisa says, you're God. You don't have to do this. And Jesus says, I have to give what humanity wants to them. They want the demonic. I have to give them the demonic. Let's look at Ireland. They said, we want abortion. What does God say? You want death? That's what we'll have. You want it? I have to give it to you. See, that's the free will. He will not take our free will away from us. He says, I have to give you what you want. What do we want? If we're proving it to Jesus by reading every day, reading the calendar every day, if we're proving to Jesus that we want this abundant life, that he, Jesus Christ, lives, that Mary, the mother of God, lives. You want this life that they gave to Louisa? And then Jesus says, prove it. You say you want it. And that's not this just be words. Prove it. So he says, in the same way, the yeast of these few souls who are focusing on reading daily, who want to live in my most holy divine will, is necessary to me, God. God's got great plans. He's got great, great plans. And we're in them if we choose. He says, as well as the multiplicity of the knowledges about my most holy divine will. So not only do you, the few who want to live, but those who are focusing on the many, many, many truths, the multiplicity of the knowledges of every day, you read something more beautiful. And even if it's the same thing, it's a different shade, it's a different tone. It's to enter into this abundant life. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this life that Jesus is breathing into us. He's not just standing next to us. He's breathing this Ruah of God, this breath of God into us. He says, this multiplicity of the knowledge is about my divine will that shall serve as the mass of divine light that shall give everyone, shall give all the goods that are needed in order to nourish and make happy all those who want to live in the kingdom of my divine will. As you read every day, Jesus is speaking to you. Just think of it. He's touching your mind with his own intellect. He's touching your heart with his own love. And it's changing. It's changing you to possess this. So listen to what he says. The few who live in my divine will is necessary for me, God, as well as the multiplicity of the knowledges about my divine will is necessary for me, God. These truths, these knowledges, these promises shall serve as a mass of divine light. Let there be light. And it shall give all, everyone. It's not just those that are reading it. Everyone, past, present, and future, the goods that are needed to nourish and make happy all those people who want to live in the kingdom of my divine will. So you look at your friends, your families, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners who don't want to read Louisa. They're good people. Most of them. And Jesus says, I'm going to give them what you want for them. He says to Louisa, you do what I want. That's reading, studying, putting into practice the truths. And I'll do what you want. That's bring in your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers to heaven. Do you see why we're alive today? We are alive today to help bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven for everyone who wants it. I have some very good friends and relatives who, because of addictions, because of weaknesses, I would talk to them about God, and they love God. They have no idea who God is, but they long for love. They long for truth. And that's what God is going to give them. He's going to give them, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will give to them what they're searching for. But it has to be through you. And that's why he goes, says to us, I'm asking you to become a victim, asking you to become a martyr of martyrdom. To give up everything that is human so that they can enter into the kingdom, because they can't give it up. You see what why Jesus says, the yeast of these few who live in my divine will, who want to live in my divine will, is necessary for me to give all the goods needed to nourish and make happy all those souls who long to live in the divine will, but are very far from it. The Lord has great plans. And he's asking us, would you be willing to help me bring souls to heaven? Would you be willing to help me bring the people that you love to heaven? And when we say yes, he says, good, prove it. A lot of people can say certain things, but what Jesus is saying is not only with words, but with actions. I want to see what you're doing. Are you growing in the knowledge of these truths? Are you growing in this life that God has wanted to give to Adam from the beginning of time, and Adam lost it? And now, 6,000 years later, after redemption, 2,000 years ago, Jesus says, now we're ready. The 7,000th year we've entered. Now a day is going to be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is going to be like a day. Now, he says, a new era is begun. Listen to what Our Lady said to Father Gobi. All throughout the book, Our Lady speaks to her beloved priests. What did she say? Get ready for the return of my son. Listen to what Our Lady says at La Salette. Listen to what Our Lady says at Fatima. Get ready, get ready. Listen to what Our Lady says to Our Lady of America. She says, this is my last resort to mankind. If you accomplish what I'm asking you, and it's not much, if you accomplish what I'm asking you, he says, the United States will be saved, the world will be saved. My last resort to humanity, she says. She's already said to us in Our Lady of Akita, if you don't turn back to my son, the only thing that can come is fire from heaven. What does Jesus say to Saint Faustina? He says in the 30s, he says, the final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. And Pope Saint John Paul II gave us divine mercy in the year 2000. What happens? The devil is furious. 9/11, a year later. And the world has not been the same. The world has been completely changed. And now Jesus is saying to us through his mother, process me in the basilica. That's all I ask. Give that place of honor to me, the Basilica of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception. And I will save America and save the world. It's like the scapular. Wear the scapular, pray the rosary, attend First Saturday. Who does that? Very, very, very few. And now, even fewer than that, are the souls reading the Book of Heaven. Even fewer. And what is Jesus saying to us through his mother? I will give you all the goods that are needed all that is needed to live in my most holy divine will. All you have to do is give your fiat. This abandonment in the divine will is what Jesus is looking for. I have great souls, great people who say to me, oh, but I love the prayers of Saint so-and-so. And the prayers of Saint so-and-so are so beautiful. And I go, yes, they're beautiful, but they're not the divine will. It's to do the will of God is what they gave. It's like reading Thomas Aquinas. It's the Summa. When you finally read Louisa, you say what God gave to Thomas was mere straw. It's beautiful, but what's coming is gold. What's coming is beauty. What's coming is divine light. What's coming is divine life. What's coming is divine love. So you can understand why Thomas said that everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to be doing. As you read the Book of Heaven, it's more beautiful today than yesterday. It's more beautiful tomorrow than today. You fall more in love with Jesus today than yesterday. You fall more in love with Jesus tomorrow than today. And it's not just Jesus. Jesus says, when I use my name, he says, it's also with my mother. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This abundant life of God, of heaven, is given to us. We don't have to wait until we die. He says the resurrection was not for you to possess after you die. He tells Louisa, the resurrection is for you to live now, heaven on earth, not after you die. To begin to live this abundant life, not just in heaven, but to begin it on earth. So what is the Lord asking of us? He's asking us to allow Him, the Lord God Almighty, to sit next to you every day. When you go to your room, close the door to pray. You let the Lord sit right next to you. And as you read, Jesus says, I will touch your mind and I'll touch your heart to understand this and to love this from a divine perspective, not a human perspective. To begin to change the three powers that He gave us, our intellect, memory, and will. To see things from Christ's perspective, not a human perspective. To remember Him and His mother. What did they do? How did they live? What did they say? The new Adam and the new Eve. To really seek their spiritual DNA that they gave to Louisa. When God looks at us, He's not going to say to us, oh, you know, you're everything for me because of who you are. No, you're everything for me because you reflect me. You resemble me and my mother. You have that spiritual DNA, if you want to say, of Jesus and Mary, that it was found in, that I put into Louisa. I love you because I see a reflection of me. See, it's this gift is so magnificent. This gift is so tremendous. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. That's just the first 10 books. It's to begin to live through the power of the Holy Spirit in the divine will, volume 11 through volume 19. It's to begin to live the divine inheritance of the Father found in volume 20 through volume 36. It is a new beginning. It is a new beginning. A glorious time to be alive. Our Lord loves us so much. Our Lord loves us so much. And then He says this to us. And again, this is very important. He says, do not worry if you are alone. And few are those who know in part, what regards to my most holy divine will. I get calls from people who say, I have nobody to talk to. I have nobody to talk to about this. And I'm going, are you sitting down with Jesus? He's talking to you. Are you talking to Him? Are you entering into this intimacy with God? Are you entering into this intimacy with the Lord God Almighty? Are you? And that's the thing that's so beautiful. It's this intimacy with Jesus that you begin to live. I'm all alone. There's nobody to talk to. Get to talk to the Lord God Almighty through little Louisa and the Blessed Mother. See, that's why becoming a third order Benedictine, oblate of the divine will. It's to each house becomes a little house of Nazareth. What does that mean? You're with Jesus and Mary. Like Joseph. Joseph didn't live in the divine will. He was in the reflection of the divine will of in Jesus and Mary. With Louisa now, God is asking us to enter into this life. Be with little Jesus. Be with the Blessed Mother. Be with St. Joseph through Louisa. Watch what happens. Your family becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. Your family begins to live this abundant life. Little by little. It's glimpse by glimpse. And that's why when you're reading, the Lord will reveal things to you that he's been wanting to tell mankind for 6,000 years. See, as soon as Adam fell, he said to Louisa, I was going to teach Adam the book of heaven so that he could give this to his children. But he failed. I waited 6,000 years to give this book to someone who would not fail, and that's you, Louisa. He says, if I give this gift back to Adam, he'll fail again. You, Louisa, can't fail. Why? You have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, who cannot fail. Do you see why there's such confusion in your home, your family, your friends, your neighbors, even in the church? It's because everybody is longing for what they want. Jesus says, I'm going to get what I want. So he says, don't worry if you're alone. Don't worry if there's only a few who know, only in part, what regards to my divine will. He says, don't worry about this. As long as the little portion of the yeast is formed, that's you, alone, in your room, close the door and you're praying. As long as the little portion of the yeast is formed in you who are reading, you who are studying, you who are putting this into practice, united to all the knowledges, all the manifestations, all the truths, all the promises on every page, every day, reading, studying, the rest shall come by itself. It's all going to happen. Jesus promises us this. It's all going to happen. It's going to happen for your friends. It's going to happen for your neighbors. It's going to happen for your coworkers. It's going to happen for your parishioners. It's going to be happening for all people of goodwill, of God's will. See, it's peace on earth, not goodwill toward men. No, that's not true. It's peace on earth to those of God's will. Peace on earth to those of the divine will. That Jesus explains this to Louisa. If you're reading, if you're studying, if you're putting this into practice, if you're all alone, good. Good. God has got plans. Great things are coming. Great things are coming. And all that he's asking of you is, would you be willing to live this life? Be that yeast so that all the world can participate in this. Why are we here? We're here because God has predestined us to be given the book of heaven to help Louisa bring about the kingdom. It's her job to bring about the kingdom. Listen to the Dawn of a Mystery again. Watch the Dawn of a Mystery, the DVD. Listen to Archbishop Echeri, what he says. It's for us. It's for now. And Father Bucci says that. He says, St. Francis was for St. Francis's time. St. Clair was for St. Clair's time. He says, Louisa is for our time. God has predestined us to live at this time, to cooperate with him so that the kingdom could be established on earth as it is in heaven. And he's using us. We're nothing. We're that fermentation. If you've ever had a bushel of apples, and at the bottom of the bushel, there's a like foam down there. That's the fermentation. That's us. God is using us, fermentation, to bring about a change in the world. We're nothing. God is everything. And he wants the world to know that we are doing nothing. All we're doing is agreeing with him. All we're doing is listening to him. All we're doing is putting to practice what he is teaching us, what Our Lady is teaching us through little Louisa. What a glorious time. What a magnificent time to be alive. Read, study, put into practice. And if you haven't begun to read the calendar, you'll be greatly surprised how powerful this is. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.